Good afternoon and welcome to the Money Web at Midday Show. I'm Warren Thompson. As usual, this show is being brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. Coming up on the show today, we talk to Growthpoint Properties CEO Norbert Sasse following the announcement of interim results to end December and the company's plans to grow the component of its distributable income from offshore investments. Then I will be joined by regular market commentator Wayne McCurry to take us through his assessment of the earnings season thus far. So we'll begin with our top story. Growthpoint Properties announced a 6.5% growth in its interim dividend for the 6 months ending December. This was fueled by higher distributable income growth, but wasn't as easy as it seemed. The company's net asset value rose by 4% over the period. And a little bit earlier today, I caught up with Norbert Sasse to get his thoughts on the result. This is what he had to say. Just give us your reaction to those numbers that you've given the market today.
Yeah, Warren, I think obviously there are a number of component parts to the business today. The South African business still being the biggest contributor by far. Yeah, you know, in tough conditions, I think, you know, certainly I reckon this last 6 months has been one of the toughest 6 months that we've had in many, many years. But, you know, the quality and the diversity of the South African portfolio, I think, has certainly helped us to produce a pretty stable result. You know, the SA businesses are sort of on a like-for-like basis, the net property income grew at about 5%. Retail, office and industrial all sort of growing between the 5 and 6% in terms of the net income numbers. So let's call it, under the circumstances, a pretty solid result from the SA businesses. Vacancies have ticked up a little bit. Overall vacancies across the portfolio from just over 4% to just over 5%. But obviously at those levels, still well below, let's say, the norms or the national statistics, which again talks to the strength and quality of the portfolio. So SA doing all right. Obviously, within SA, we have the V&O Waterfront. V&O Waterfront had another solid contribution, 12% up. And clearly, yes, we have invested a bit more there as well. But combined with the like-for-like growth and the new investment, Waterfront continues to perform particularly well and very pleasing result. Australia, which is the other part of the business, has equally had a year which, you know, in terms of the Australian market, where you have a particularly strong investment market, and maybe on the ground the actual letting dynamics is a bit tougher than what might meet the eye. You know, good result in line with budgets and meeting their, you know, the distribution target they said they would make, and had a little bit of, a negative impact on two fronts on the Australian result. One is the stronger rand relative to the comparable period, and then also the higher withholding tax percentage on the dividend that we receive in Australia. And then probably the, you know, one of the key features of this set of results would also be the contribution from our Eastern European investment, where we invested into a company called Global Worth in 2016. This 6 month result incorporates the first contribution, or comparable to the prior six, or the comparable 6 month period. You know, we got a pretty handsome contribution from the Eastern European business, which helped us get to that 6.5% dividend growth number.
Okay, that's very interesting. Obviously, we've noted, and I sort of get the feeling that in terms of the quality portfolio that you've pursued in South Africa, you've probably reached about size, as I understand it. You can't really get any bigger without perhaps discounting the quality of the properties that you buy and add to your portfolio. So you have stated that your goal now is to double the amount of distributable income from foreign investments over the next 3 to 5 years. Investors in your business understand that you've invested heavily in Australia. You've now started in Eastern Europe. Is there going to be some new geographies, or is this going to be a build out on your existing platform?
Yeah, I think for now the emphasis remains on Australia and Eastern Europe, and Eastern Europe mainly via, as you say, the existing platform, which is a company called Global Worth. You know, Global Worth itself actually made a pretty substantial investment in December 2017, where it bought control of a listed Polish company listed on the Warsaw Stock Exchange, which gives it about access to about 800 million euros worth of Polish assets. So the Eastern European play at the moment via Global Worth is very much focused around the two major economies in that area, being Poland and Romania. And that's done well for us. So, you know, we do keep our eyes open for for other opportunities, anything in Western Europe, if the investment dynamics, and the UK for that matter, if the investment dynamics stack up, we would be interested to pursue those opportunities. But for now, the emphasis remains on the internationalization front, really on Australia and Central Eastern Europe. On the SA side, just to point out, I think, we clearly do still, we are doing quite a few developments. We've spent a couple of billion rand in this particular period developing, completing the Discovery head office and a couple of other projects. So we'll continue to invest in SA, as you say, looking for the higher quality assets, maybe selling some of the non-core assets, and on the on growing the portfolio, probably more biased towards development than acquisition.
Why is that, Norbert? Is that just where you see value at the moment? Obviously, a differential in kind of value that you perceive by building, by constructing and owning as opposed to buying these?
Yeah, so I mean, clearly, to the extent that we're able to develop and cut out the developer's profit, if you want, we make that development profit ourselves.
Right.
And that is one of the arguments. The other one is that the office sector at the moment, the demand is for a very specific kind of property asset, office asset. Tenants today want a modern, green-rated, energy-efficient building with large floor plates, obviously in a well-located, very well-located, relative to infrastructure, mainly the car train stations, et cetera, et cetera. So to buy existing buildings that offer, those kinds of features is difficult to come by and generally expensive. So we're preferring to actually develop those ourselves.
Okay, very interesting. You've also got a couple of equity accounted investments. So are there any plans in terms of this expansion and procuring more distributable income from offshore sources to increase your stake in any of those?
Look, our strategy generally is to not just have minority interests. We generally like to have control.
Okay.
It's not always possible, but if we don't have control, we certainly would want what we would refer to as significant influence. Now, if you look at the investment into Globalworth, we initially acquired about 26%. We've now increased our stake to 29, just short of 30. But we do have influence in as much as, we have representation on the board, representation on the investment committee, the audit committee, the remuneration committee. So, I think we'll evaluate the opportunities as they come. But clearly, the strategy remains to the extent we do have equity account investments that we have a certain level of influence over these investments rather than just being passive.
Okay, all right, great. Just to finish off the interview, Norbert, just on the guidance that you're providing for the rest of the year, we've obviously seen that the numbers you've posted today. What's the guidance that you're providing to the market for your full year figures?
Yeah, so, we're obviously encouraged by the recent changes on the political front. I think the sentiment is definitely turned a lot more positive. But I think we have to be realistic that, these changes don't automatically translate into a stronger property market with stronger property fundamentals. It doesn't translate into, GDP growth rising from sub 1 to 2 or 3% overnight. It's going to take time. But we certainly believe that things are on track for an improvement rather than the deterioration that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 odd years. So we're confident that we can do the 6.5 for the entire year, and I think we confirm that we see the distribution growth remaining similar for the rest of the year.
That was Growth Point Property CEO Norbert Sasse.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors. Through our Click & Advisor offering, advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. To find out more, visit www.moneyweb.co.za.
Time to dig into the markets now, and it's been a bruising day on the JSE, virtually blood across the market at the moment. All sectors, the JSE All Share down 1.1% at the moment to 58,379 points. We've got industrials down almost 1%. Financials, virtually the best performing. They're only down 0.75%. Gold mining and resources both down well over 1%. Just interesting to see the value traded in the shares. The banks coming back today. Behind Naspers, we've got First Rand, and then a little bit further down by volume traded by value, we've got the Barclays Africa Group and Standard Bank, as well as Shoprite. Shoprite having a very enjoyable run, if you would have noticed that if you came to the MoneyWeb platform and read that article today around Christo Visser seeing a little bit of sunlight in his Shoprite shares. The currency taking pain as well, though. The US dollar now 1.3% stronger against the rand at 11.70. The pound is making gains against us as well, up nearly 0.9% to 16.28, and the euro up 0.5% against the rand to 14.29. There's no love in the precious metal market either. Gold is down 1.13% to $1,318. Platinum and palladium both getting smacked. Platinum down 1.5% to $981, and palladium is down 1.45% to $1,046. Joining me now is just to discuss the markets is Simon Brown from One Lap. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hey, afternoon, Warren.
I just wanted to see, we've been wading into the earnings season so far. Has there been any interesting companies or any interesting results, rather, that have caught your eye over the last week or so?
I think the big one, and you mentioned it there in your intro, was Shoprite. And I mean, they've been a perennial favorite of mine. And they've had some, certainly in terms of share price, they've disappointed at times and they've gone nowhere or backwards. But if you look at the operations and you look at how they've done in these last sort of results, I mean, they absolutely are just, you know, they are the retailer in South Africa, in Africa. 20% of their revenue now coming beyond the borders of South Africa. The lower inflation environment helping them because it means that they can keep prices flat. It also means they can perhaps slightly, you know, edge up some margins. So, you know, maybe inflation's at 1% and they can do a 1.5% increase and take that extra 0.5% for themselves. And they are just, as I said, absolute machine, trading up at all-time highs. And one of the key things for them, and we saw it in the budget speech last year, yes, Shoprite is aiming also at higher and middle LSMs. Their core demographic has been that lower LSM market. And we see with social grants increases there ahead of inflation. And that really has been one of the big fuelers into that business over the last decade or so, and will continue going forward, I suspect.
It's certainly been amazing to see how they've obviously very much cornered that kind of low income or sort of discount price, low price threshold in the market there. But seeing how they've been able to adapt, I had Jean-Pierre Fester on the phone yesterday from Fairtree, and he said this decision, this strategy to move up to the some of the value-added products in the food division, certainly, mm-hmm. and I think in liquor as well, has been underway for some time. But just seeing it in our own household, how some of the products that we used to buy from Woolworths, and we're now sourcing from Checkers, and they seem to be continuing to win market share. It's just very interesting that a business that size can now seem to be very effective in competing in what is a fairly niche food sector or food market.
Absolutely, and I've actually done comparison at times, and my colleague has. You know, she will stand in the Checkers or the Woolies with the app in her hand and compare the competitors' prices. And as you know, we're seeing a space where Woolies is not always so expensive. Sometimes they're actually cheaper. But Shoprite's got that perception. It's got that mind share. And I always thought the problem that we're going to have is that the perception, the mind share for Shoprite Checkers is that they're discount, that they're low LSM. And they're going to struggle to sort of move up that value chain. But they're absolutely succeeding in it. And I think one of the key points for them is that they do it slowly, they do it cautiously. If we look at their businesses in the rest of the continent, they've been there 23 years, you know. And someone was saying, oh, they're only at 20% after more than two decades. That's true. It is only 20%, but it's not insignificant. And you can see, you know, in the next 10 or so, maybe 20 years, they'll be at 40, 50%. It's the methodical, slowly, careful, roll it out, get your distribution centers working, get your price points, get that mind share for good pricing. And it's in a sense, it's the classic way of doing business. You know, no flashy lights, no big head offices, no big mergers and acquisitions. Just, you know, give the consumer what they want at a price that they like.
Just quickly, Simon, because I know I'm running out of time here, but we saw that Eskom was downgraded again today by S&P. And just having a look at the markets at the moment and the currency, do you think it's now time that Ramaphosa, as we call it, has run out and we're starting to see a country coming back to the reality of a budget that is very highly constrained, very underperforming, and very structurally challenged state-owned entities that have been the centerpiece of the state's intervention in the economy? We're still coming back to all those problems now that we've got a new cabinet. Is that your sense of things?
Yeah, I think you're right in the Ramaphosa, as you put it, running out. Absolutely. We had the elective conference last year, then him put into president, budget, cabinet reshuffle, and it's kind of like all the dancing part is now over. Now it's down to the hard work. I'm still bullish for our market for this year and into next and even 2020, just on lower inflation. Growth returning. We need to remember we had a recession last year, and the fact that the key, you know, treasury, SOEs, mining have got ministers who frankly we can respect and look at and say those are the right people for the job, whereas just a month ago we looked at the respective ministers and shook our heads and said those are the wrong people for the job. So I think, yeah, we're definitely coming off some of that excitement. I think the market will pick up and continue, and I do think we're going to be in a better position as a country and an economy, and ultimately that will reflect into our market. But in, you know, it's not going to be in a straight line, and we're going to have these pullbacks as we're seeing today. In part, I think, thanks to ourselves, but also to a weak markets overnight, both the US and Asia down over 1% overnight.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. It's better that we have some competent people in these key positions than not. But let's see where that takes us. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Simon.
Always a pleasure.
That was Simon Brown from Just One Lap. And this show is being brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business.
Numerology studies tell us that numbers have symbolic meaning. Number 8 stands for success, 4 is stability, and 3 represents advantage. These qualities, over and above trust, ethics, and leadership, are embraced by CASA, the leading accounting, auditing, and tax business designation underpinned by ethical standards, delivering responsible business leadership to take your business to number 1. Because business is more than just numbers. CASA, leaders in business.
And that brings us to the end of another MoneyWeb at Midday show. Remember, our English and Afrikaans-speaking business shows kick off at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, be sure to return to the MoneyWeb platform for more news, analysis, and insight. Cheers for now.